Dunabag is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Your data is your business. Protect it with ExpressVPN. For 3 extra months free with a 1-year package, go to the link listed in my Twitter profile. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Dunabag. This episode, I'm talking to my football buddies, Allison Kohler and Leanne Lohman, and we are talking Steelers, previewing the Steelers-Raiders game, talking a little bit about how great the Steelers-Bills game was. Still can't believe that they won. And yeah, Allison is A. Kohler NFL, K-O-E-H-L-E-R, on Twitter. She is a writer for USA Today Steelers Wire and Heavy NFL. So please check out her articles, especially the ones on, it's called Heavy on Steelers or something like that. So Leanne is at Hollywood Lohman, L-O-W-M-A-N. So give her a follow too. She's an awesome Twitter follow. So anyway, here is my talk about the Steelers. Dunabag starts right now. All right, time to admit it. Did you really think the Steelers were going to beat the Bills? No.
No.
Did you, Leanne? No.
No.
No, no. But I don't think anybody did.
I'll never admit it pregame because I feel like it's like bad luck to say that out loud. But I really didn't go into the game very optimistic at all.
Plus, I mean, the way the game started, it just decreased my feeling that they were gonna, like, any hope that I had was squashed, like,
yeah,
early on.
Same,
because they just couldn't get anything going.
They did not give us any optimism the way they started. My goodness, that kickoff return. You just handed them points. Yeah. And then you say, oh my God, the special teams, what's wrong with them? Well, they kind of redeemed themselves, I guess.
It really looked like two totally different games, you know, between the first half and the second half of the game. And it made me laugh the other night. I heard that the Manning brothers, when they were doing the game the other night, said something about how halftime adjustments are a myth. They don't really happen. You know what I mean? Nobody has time to make big adjustments. And I was like, you didn't watch the Steelers game because something happened at halftime.
They had two plans. They had one for, like, if the first half went well, and then another plan for the first half didn't go well, and it didn't go well. So when they were in there doing whatever they do, they were like, plan B, let's go to plan B.
Basically. I think sometimes we come back and win games, and I don't think it's because we necessarily do anything different. Like, the stars align, something goes wrong with the other team. Do you know what I mean? Or our defense does something that causes a turnover and we get a little bit lucky. But this time, for me, it seemed like Allison said, like, really, like, they came back out with a different plan for the second half of the game. It worked much better. While O-line still struggled, they looked much better.
They did. And you could tell that they were doing better at blocking for Najee, too, because he was able to, you know, he still didn't have a great game, but it was the first week. But you could see there were, you know, he had more holes in the second half.
Yeah, there was definite progress.
Right.
I think what happened was in the first half, they're like, okay, here's the new Matt Canada offense. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do razzle dazzle. We're going to move around everywhere. And look at us. Let's go. The only people confused was the Steelers themselves.
Yeah.
And I think in the second half, Ben or somebody said, how about we do things we're actually comfortable with? Right. And they let Ben just be, you know, go from the shotgun, do what he's used to doing.
He was drawing plays up in the dirt.
That's right. Old
school style. But I guess you probably have to do some of that until this group becomes comfortable and cohesive. Right. I mean, they're so new to each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, oh gosh, like, I thought the same thing Joe did. I was like, man, we all expected, because of all this, you know, just this hype during the offseason about how the offense was going to look so different. I think a lot of us, including me, expected them to be completely different. Like, we weren't even going to be able to recognize last year's Steelers, you know, from this year's Steelers. And it's, and really a lot of it was still sort of the short dinks and dunks. And, you know, Ben wasn't throwing it more than, you know, further than, you know, 20 yards. And so that's discouraging, but at the same time, it's early, like you guys both said, you know, it's super early. They have to have time to gel. And it's just week one is not the week to, you know, for everything just to magically be awesome.
Right.
See, I think week one, whether you win or lose, it's, you know, I mean, the Steelers could have easily lost the game. We expected them to lose the game. It's what you do afterwards. I think what you do in you know, weeks 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 that really show, like, okay, we're not what we thought we were. We need to make adjustments. We need to change things up.
You want to see that progression happening, that improvement happening, that learning off of our mistakes happening kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the offense has only one way to go but up. So that's awesome. But the defense is already there.
Yeah.
The defense is already established and they won that game. My goodness.
They looked amazing. They looked amazing. And I expected some issues on secondary, but I can't get over like how flexible those guys are moving in and out of positions and just being able to still go in and make big plays. And boy, TJ Watt sure earned his keep. And it was, they were great.
Yeah.
Smith was great.
Cam Sutton made some amazing plays. And even Trey Norwood, the rookie, who's freaking, he was everywhere.
He played a lot.
Yeah. And he was allowing Fitzpatrick too, like because of his versatility and he was able to pick up things so quickly during the offseason that other players in the backfield are able to do more because, you know, of his quick talent.
Shows intelligence. Another player that I got more from that game than I expected to is Pat Freiermuth. I expected him to have more of a tight end learning curve. That's such a tough position to come out of college playing and then come to the pros and play. And I was shocked at how well he was out there blocking. It wasn't even about the yardage. It was all the other things about tight ends that's hard that he did like effortlessly in that game.
Yeah, he took somebody and like ran him into the bench.
Yes.
That was fantastic.
That was beautiful. Really was. The split between Freiermuth and Ebron was like 50-50 in snaps. Yeah. I think Freiermuth's gonna got a lot more play time.
I do too.
My goodness.
And it's nice, I think, that you can use them differently and it gives you some options and some versatility. And I like the ability to put in two tight ends if you want to. And I like the ability to have different guys. So yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah. It's encouraging, but now we're on to the Raiders.
Raiders.
I'm going to be there. I'm so excited.
Are you? Good for you.
I'm going to. Yeah.
I wish I was. Yeah. I have FOMO so bad. I want to come so badly.
Yeah. I'm going to try to get there early. I have a feeling it's going to be a little bit crazy around Heinz Field, you know.
Did you see the things going around today about how like the Raiders are having like a tailgate takeover and some kind of bar takeover and a whole bunch of different events scheduled? There was a thing circulating around Twitter today. I was like,
not in my house.
I can't see that taking off very well.
It's not how we fly in Pittsburgh. That's what we do to other cities. We take over. We take over their stadiums. We take over certain things. Yeah, we don't allow
the takeover for us.
Nobody's taking over anything.
I know. I asked somebody today, do you think somebody from Pittsburgh set him up? And was like, sure. Come on. sure. Raiders, have a tailgate.
Raider Nation doesn't at all rival Steeler Nation in terms of traveling and traveling well, but they come pretty, you know, they represent on the road. And I think
they're very loyal.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Plus, I mean, I still think that there's a lot of that hatred for each other. You know what I mean? Even though it's been decades since the Raiders were really like, since the Raiders and Steelers played each other more often, you know what I mean? Than they do now. But you know, it's still that rivalry, I think, is still, you know, underlying a little bit.
It's not Raider Nation that travels well. It's the Raiders franchise that travels well. Oh. They travel. They go from city to city, year to year, wherever they're actually going to have their home base.
I was thinking about what a strange phenomenon that is. And I can't imagine if Pittsburgh like got up and left and the Steelers weren't in Pittsburgh anymore. I can't even begin to wrap my head around what that would be like.
Imagine they moved I just
can't imagine.
You know, West Virginia or the middle of Ohio or upstate New York or something.
Right. Like, I feel for fans that lose their team base like that. I don't know how you do that.
That's terrible. Yeah, I feel for them. And they do have a very dedicated
very
fan
loyal
base,
following,
which is really cool. Yeah. Did you see Derek Carr? They asked him something like, "Oh, what do you know about the Steelers and Raiders histories?" Like, I know that ball hit the ground and that immaculate reception is illegal. That's probably like on a sign in their locker room or something like that.
Goes They're around like Jesse, down, like Jesse James caught that ball.
Thank you.
Goes around the same way.
Yeah, exactly. They're still mad really about that. 50 years later, they're still.
Oh yeah.
You know, who still think there's people who still think it's. You know, anytime I post something about Ben Roethlisberger, I always have, because I'm from Cleveland, I always have an occasional Browns fan. Oh, but did he rape anybody today?
I know. Tiresome.
Really?
I'm tired. Come it's. On. The Browns employ some pretty crappy people too.
They do. Yeah,
Kareem Hunt. Thank you very much.
Miles Garrett.
I mean, every team has people that have.
And
done
I always say to people that say that, like, I can only hold people accountable for the things that they've been convicted of, or do you know what I mean? Like in my mind, like I can only do that. And since the NFL doesn't even hold convicted felons accountable for what they do. Do you know what I mean? How do you expect me to pass judgment on somebody based on hearsay? Because you wouldn't want me to do that to you at your job, you know, as if you say like, oh, so-and-so, you know, I heard he did this and then your career is ruined. And so, you know, I don't know. I hate that kind of gossip mongering, whether it's about Ben or somebody else. It's just
hypocritical. Every team has had players that have done stuff. So
everybody's had problems.
Just drop it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, yeah, I really don't know what to expect with the Raiders. Allison, you had an article today in Heavy on Steelers about who is out for the Raiders.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. So they earlier this week, they lost offensive lineman Denzel Good, starting right guard actually, to torn ACL. So, you know, obviously, you know, nobody likes to cheer injuries. I'm not cheering an injury, but playing a team that has some injuries, I'm okay with that. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, Gerald McCoy was another big name. In fact, today news just came out that he has a knee injury and he's going to miss the rest of the season as well. So they haven't really specified. It's probably, I'm sure he tore a MCL, ACL, something along those lines. They're just calling it a knee right now, but just the fact that he's going to be out for the season pretty much tells you that. But I mean, Gerald McCoy, you know, he's an old man, you know, he's 33, you know what I'm saying? He's 1 year older than freaking Cam Hayward, right?
But it's really sad though. Didn't he just come back from another injury?
He did, yeah. So he had a quad last year that he was out, and Jerry Jones did him wrong. Like they put him on IR and then freaking cut him because they're like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, you're not coming back. So that was kind of trashy, but you know, that's Jerry Jones for you, I guess. But yeah, so you know, they're gonna be down, you know, a few players, and I think that they have a couple other minor injuries that we're gonna have to watch out for. But you know, when it comes to the Raiders, as it does with every team, I think the Steelers sort of, you know, and I'm sure we've talked about this before on a previous podcast about how they look down. You know, they any opponents that they feel like they can beat, they just sometimes they go in and they just get steamrolled because they have this mentality that they're just going to go out there and just, you know, beat them without having to try. And I think the Raiders are a very good example of that because of how horrible the Raiders have been in the past.
They play to like whatever that perceptual level is. And
right. Yeah.
I think that's human nature. I don't think, I mean, that's, oh, Tomlin loses. Right.
No, that's true.
Human nature. Look through, every team does that.
I agree.
I think that kind of, you know, just thinking even in the back of your mind, I think that means a lot. You know, if you look at a team and consider them quote unquote easy, I think you're in a bad place because you're going to get beat. You know, I guarantee you the Steelers did not look at the Bills and say, oh, this is going to be easy. They looked at it and said, this is going to be really hard. This is a challenge. Yeah. Let's go beat them. Right. So, you know, and
look at like the Washington football team last year. I mean, that was supposed to be like an easy, you know, every got to that game, everybody was like, we got this one in the bag. And, and yeah, I mean, you know what I mean? But that's what happens. And then you get behind and you start making mental errors and then it's hard to catch up. They're all pros. Nobody's terrible. They're all professional athletes.
Yeah. But that's what's scary. I mean, the Raiders haven't had a winning season since 2012. So that's what I mean. Like, you know, sometimes that's going to get in the, you know, that might get in the back of some players' heads. Like, oh, these guys suck. You know what I mean? Like, we're just going to go out there and just do whatever and see what happens. Obviously, that's not the case, but it just seems like, you know, the Raiders are kind of that perfect trap for them to be over, you know, for the Steelers to overlook the Raiders. And I think that would be a big mistake if they do that.
I agree.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm surprised they beat the Ravens. I think the Ravens have some problems. I'm not mad about it. Good. Have all the problems.
Villanueva looked like a turnstile on the field. I don't even know what he was doing. And I feel bad because I liked him when he played for the Steelers. I really did. You know what I mean? I liked him. And then you just, I don't know. Does there come a time when as an athlete, you have to say like, this is my time to retire. Do you know what I mean? I'm not able to play to where I was before. And this is my time. Or do you let ego take over? And then you have situations like this happen. Cause it'll be interesting to see how our O-line pairs up against Crosby.
That's the thing. So, yeah. So I think if anything, you know, it was more Max Crosby than it was Big Al playing horribly. You know, obviously he didn't play well, but Max Crosby is a freaking freak of nature.
He's amazing.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, he got AFC Defensive Player of the Week over freaking Cam Hayward.
Right.
So it's like, which I thought was total bullshit in the first place.
I did too.
You know.
But then with a weak O-line like we have, it's not easy to pick apart places to exploit it when you're watching film and, you know, when you're looking at last week's game, it's not easy to figure out ways to exploit it and have him be a real factor. Then he's going to get rushed again.
Right. Yeah. Chukwu Okorafor is in trouble. He's in trouble.
But you know what?
Crosby is just going to
manhandle him.
You know, Crosby is not going to sneak up on anybody. When he has a monster game like that, you know, the next opponent says, you know what? Maybe we'll double team that guy. You know, so you can prepare for that. Same thing with Waller. Not that. I mean, we all knew that Waller is a problem. He's one of the best tight ends in the game. If you could really call him a tight end, he's really a wide receiver. But I mean, he is. It's all we're talking about is how you're going to stop Waller.
Right. Yeah. And the Ravens actually, it's interesting because the Ravens let him go. The Ravens drafted him as a wide receiver.
Right.
He transitioned, like, I think in his second year from wide receiver to tight end. And he's just been basically a beast ever since the Ravens cut him. So
sometimes that motivates players. It happens. You know, you get to a different team, a different system, a different coaching staff. You know, who knows what goes on behind the scenes, but that works for some players or motivates them, lights a fire under them. Yeah. He's been balling out since then.
I think a big part of whether a player is a success or not is the team and the coaching staff that he ends up on. And if you don't end up in the right situation, then hopefully you find that right situation and you could excel. I think it has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Mike Hilton, changed the subject, but Mike Hilton got burned for a touchdown. The Vikings, Adam Thielen, wide receiver.
Not surprised. So,
I mean, yeah.
He was good at blitzing. He was horrible in coverage. That's why everybody's like, oh, Mike Hilton's such a big loss. Not really.
Yeah.
Not really. He was good at some things and really bad at other things. So, you know, not that big of a loss. I always
feel like you have to prioritize those players. You can't ever keep everybody. So how do you prioritize who you have? And to me, I liked him, but he just wasn't a priority.
Right.
For the money.
If we kept Hilton, we wouldn't have been able to get Melvin Ingram or Trey Turner or
had a great game.
Yeah. So
yeah, he did. Yeah. I mean, he was one of those guys who sort of was like, I want to prove to the Chargers, and I want to prove to the league that I can still be a force. And he showed that on Sunday.
Yeah, he looked great.
My goodness, what a steal he's going to end up being! My goodness.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. Just you know, just for the fact, even if he does nothing, just to keep Highsmith and TJ fresh so they could have some kind of rotation, that's huge. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the scary thing is, this defense could actually get better. Eventually they're going to get to it. And Devin Bush and Schobert had a quiet game, but you know, they're still figuring things out. They're learning to play together, and they're, you know, Schobert's still learning the defense. Bush is still coming back from an injury, so they're only going to get better.
Yeah, I mean, so, it's technically only Bush's second year, really. I mean,
Right. So. Yeah. So
I was worried about that secondary, but that ability to rotate those players around and be able to use some of those other guys kept them so fresh through that first half of the game that they were still playing really strongly in the second half of the game, where sometimes we start to tire out and struggle a little bit. I thought they looked fresh and good.
Well, they kept pressure on Allen with not even blitzing.
Right.
With three guys that are keeping pressure on him. That's huge.
It's huge.
Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's
nice to see us put that much pressure on somebody else instead of just being on the receiving end of it all the time.
That's right.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That's right. So we'll see. I'm optimistic. I think the Steelers are going to win this. I think they're going to win. It's just because of that pressure thing. It's like, well, what if Carr does this, and what if Carr does that, and what if Waller does this? Like, I don't think he's going to have time to hit Waller, because I think he's going to be running for his life.
Yeah,
I think too. It speaks a lot to the fact that it's a home game. I would feel less confident about the Steelers winning if they had to go into Vegas, because it's their first home game in front of fans in a million years, it seems like. So, and just the atmosphere is going to be electric, and you would hope that they'll use that, you know, as a momentum builder, sort of a detractor, like, oh, I couldn't hear anything, or oh, blah, 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 you know, so.
Hopefully fans help a little bit. People are really excited to be there.
I'll be screaming. If I still have a voice at the end of the game, then I have failed as a Steelers fan.
Only scream when they're on defense.
Right.
That's right. That's right. Only be quiet when Ben is doing his thing.
Right, exactly.
And besides, I mean, Heinz Field is a football stadium, and the Raiders stadium looks like a giant Roomba. So
this is true.
You know what? That's actually really useful, because when they pick up and go to another city, they could just Roomba Roomba the entire stadium and move to another state, another area.
Drive itself to another city.
They're gonna be the Arizona Raiders next or something, or the Idaho Raiders or something.
Idaho's due for a football team.
Sure. Throw potatoes at the team.
Right.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. This was so much fun.
Yeah,
it is.
All right. Yeah. Awesome. Hey, I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.